district report we approved there, delegations.
Yes, there's a delegation, Green Peas Project, Jane Watson would like to discuss.
Okay. Okay, we'll do that right now.
Okay. My name's Jane Watson, I live here in Armenia. I'm a filmmaker, and I've been involved in working with farmers and chefs in the Hudson Valley for the last 3 or 4 years, doing community outreach projects, fundraisers, events that I call movable feasts. They're fundraisers where I take a group of chefs out of their comfort zone, out of their restaurants, put them together as a team, they have to put on a dinner. It's a ticketed event, the money goes for a good cause, and it's about bringing awareness to the food producers in our area, farmers. The events have been sold out. We've gotten a lot of coverage in papers across the river, but now I'd like to turn my attention to education and kids. So this project that I wanted to talk to you about, that you might have gotten some project description on already, is about bringing farmers and chefs into classrooms. I've been doing some work and some research, and have made really heavy inroads into New York City. And I'd like to now talk to all of you about bringing the project here to my community, to Weavertuck. I'd like to connect the Weavertuck schools with schools in Harlem and Bedford-Stuyvesant, and schools in the Berkshires and in Boston, and bring farmers and chefs into the classroom to teach the kids about the relationship and the connection between their food and their bodies, their food and the environment, and the role of the farmer and chef in their food systems. I've gotten tremendous response to the teachers in New York City. They want to do this, there's no question that there's a big demand for it. But I think it would be really cool to be able to connect kids in the inner city with kids here in Weavertuck. We would do this project, and there's three prongs to it, through short videos, 2.5 to 3 minute videos that are to be like discussion aids, aids for teachers to start a discussion with their kids about the topics I'm talking about, their food and their bodies and the environment and farmers and chefs. There would be live in-class visits into the classrooms with a farmer and or chef team coming into the class to do simple hands-on demonstrations and interaction with the kids. And the third prong of it is Skyping. I have pitched this project idea to the Skype organization. They love the project. They would make this Greenpeace project one of their partners and give us our own page. They have a free initiative called Skyping in the Classroom. And what that means is that they would help me to connect Weavertuck kids last year with maybe a farmer or a chef present with the kids, and connect us to 8 other classrooms. The classrooms could be in Boston, classroom could be in, as I said, Harlem, Bedford-Stuyvesant, the Bronx. We can connect up to 9 classrooms at once. So for instance, there could be a cooking demonstration going on here with a chef and the kids, and a teacher with their class in Harlem via Skyping could do the same cooking lesson and interact with our teacher and our kids here. The Skyping also connects us with literally the whole world. The Skyping organization, this Skyping in the Classroom initiative, there are teachers in India and Sri Lanka and Great Britain who are all concerned about the same thing, about teaching the kids about where their food is coming from. And they're all those teachers are posting up now saying, how can I connect to other teachers? How can I find other classrooms that are interested in doing the same thing? So virtually, we could connect our kids with teachers and classrooms from around the world. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the importance of connecting the different communities. So we're teaching them about farming and about their food and about the environment, but we want to show kids here in our community this incredible urban farming movement that's going on in the cities. There are people raising food under tremendous challenges and trying to teach their kids about food. For instance, there are rooftop farms springing up all over the place in Brooklyn and the Bronx and Manhattan in these abandoned industrial neighborhoods up on top of these warehouses. There are incredible acres of vegetables growing and beekeepers raising bees. There are people driving around pickup trucks into really gang-infested neighborhoods who are planting vegetables in the beds of their trucks and driving those trucks through these neighborhoods to show kids what vegetables look like. It's almost at a fever pitch right now in New York City. I've been interested in this for about 4 or 5 years, but now I see the wave in New York City. They are really interested in this. And they're equally interested in connecting their kids with the kids up here, because it's as important for those guys down there to see imagery of traditional farming that's going on in the rest of the state outside of the city, as it is important for kids here to see what's going on down in the city. Oyster farming in Long Island. I have a chef and I have schools that want to be connected to it in Long Island. So we would be connecting kids up here with kids in the suburbs and kids in the city. What else can I say to you? You see, the point that I think about connecting the kids, in addition to teaching them about food and their environment and their food system, is we should let the kids inspire each other. You know, I really think that, and also it's another resource for the teachers. We're going to build a website. The website will be like a hub or a central place where teachers can share information about the projects their class is working on, about resources that are available, about things like the science barge that's floating down the Hudson River right now. It's a barge that's completely powered by biodiesel, solar, and wind energy, and they're growing probably an acre and a half of carrots and cucumbers on it. And it floats up and down the river for classrooms to come and learn about this. So the website that I build will be a hub for teachers up here, teachers in Boston, teachers in New York City, to find out about projects like this, for teachers to connect with each other so that teachers can arrange to Skype, because the point of this whole project is that I help build this network for the teachers. I connect teachers with teachers, teachers with chefs, and teachers with farmers. So we plant a little seed here in Weebatuck, but it grows and spreads community by community, and the teachers are the most powerful resource themselves when they connect together. Right now we have teachers that are looking for content to put on the smart boards in their classrooms. They have these smart boards in place, but they have no material to put on it. Our little videos can be projected on those smart boards so that the teachers will have that tool. The smart boards are used for the Skyping, to connect the kids together. So we're using infrastructure that's already in place. The project is completely free. I'm writing grants for it. Because this is my community, I will personally oversee it here to make sure that if issues come up, we solve them. You know, in its pilot initial run, I think I'd be really proud if we could bring this to Weebatuck and connect Weebatuck with these other communities, and then make such an example of this for the rest of the state, that we could do this here. You know, that little Weebatuck school was able to pull off this. I mean, nobody else is doing this right now. I've been doing my research, I've put my feelers out there. There is no other project going on about teaching ag in the classroom like this at all. So I think I would be really proud if you guys would consider letting me bring the project into the Weebatuck School and let us show the rest of the state what we can do. Not let alone the Hudson Valley, but the rest of the state what we can do. Well, thank you for letting me speak, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Sounds very exciting.
I think it's a great idea and a noble thing that you're doing. I have some suggestions.
Sure.
I would expect that you would be working with New York State Farm Bureau, Dutchess Farm Bureau, National Farm Bureau. They have many videos available. New York Time Magazine just had an article on the importance of dairy products, whole milk, and other dairy products in our school lunch program and in our diets. Would be interesting to look at. Also to work with another local farm group is Hudson Valley Fresh.
Sure.
You got Ronnie Brook.
Sure.
But you also have vocational agriculture programs and FFA in very close in Connecticut and Pine Plains.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about vocational agriculture in our district and supporting what's going on in Pine Plains. I think all those
groups, 4-H, can be incorporated and would be very useful to you in putting this project forward.
Absolutely.
The largest vocational agriculture program that I'm aware of in New York State is in John Bowne High School in Queens, New York.
Right, Queens, right. I've spoken to Stephen, the Vice President, Stephen, I can't remember his last name. Yes. Yeah.
Just some thoughts.
No. I'm completely open to ideas and suggestions, and you know, it's a pilot thing that we're trying to do. We're making this up as we go along.
You've already spoken with Jen, Jason?
Yes. Great. Yes. And that's why I really think that this could be really successful here, is because I think we're like-minded about it. She seems very supportive of it. So I think that, you know, seriously, Weebatuck could really set an example. It seems like we've got the interest here to do it, and I think we could really make it work.
Great. Jane, just to, by the way, I'm with the Northeast Community Center, and about 4 years ago, Jane came to us with a Green Peas project to do a chef and farmer brunch. So it was, like you said, take the chefs out of their restaurants. We give them produce from local farms, and they cook dishes. And we're in our fourth year of doing the event.
Right.
And
I'm proud of that. That's an example. I start something, I put the idea out, and then it gets strong enough, just walk away and let them do it.
Yeah, it's really great.
The Northeast Center has
really
done
great.
That now for 4 years.
This is our fourth one, and it's a tremendous fundraiser for us. And yeah, thank you.
Especially for the younger kids, it's harder and harder now to find hands-on things to teach them about science, biology, the all of it. And this just sounds awesome.
It's about too, you know, what I keep hearing from teachers is that kids do not respond anymore to textbooks or adventure books. They need to see moving images, and that's what I understand as a filmmaker is moving image. Not to say that we are not going to try to tackle the same disciplines, for instance. So we're going to do maple syrup to start with. Maple syrup, rice, honey, and dairy to start with. So for each of these food groups, what we'll do is a lower level and a higher level version of the video, meaning lower reading level, lower maybe second grade, lower level third grade will be the lower level video. For instance, so for rice, we will attack that conversation from language arts and social studies aspect. Then the higher level version of the rice video will look at it from a science and a mathematics perspective. Because what the teachers have said to me is, they have to cram a lot of information in short little 45-minute schedules. So that's what they're faced with right now. So I think we can do the same thing. And not to say that we're not gonna help kids read, because I'm going to put right up on the videos. They're going to hear it. They're going to hear people talking and see moving images, but I'm going to put entitling. So it'll look like the primer reader text that you would see very soon. So the kids can read as they're listening and as they're seeing the moving images. I also will be doing this in English and Spanish. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, that's great.
So if there's a teacher here who said, hey, you know what? I want to teach the kids Spanish.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start this way. I'm going to teach them the words, and what is butter, and what is cow, and what is, you know.
Nice.
So that could be another use of it, is that, because I have to do it for New York City. Because I do a Spanish version, then why not, you know, let them use it for that reason, too.
You know, it sounds great. I mean, I don't know what you need from us, but whatever you need from
I need, as I'm doing my grant stuff, I need to get help with letters of support. Down in the city, there's different teaching groups now that are going to write up letters of support for me, the Bronx, UFT, places like that. So, you know, farming groups up here and teaching groups, anybody that can help me with letters of support with this grant process, that's really what I need. Ideas from more farmers. I know a lot of farmers here, I know a lot of chefs, but if anybody has ideas of other farmers that I might overlook, I'm looking for beekeepers and, like I said, maple syrup. Dairy, that's a Nelly Fresh, of course. For rice, so we have a family that I've already been filming. We have a Korean family in the Columbia County, Etcetera Farm, who's growing rice, but they're also growing rice down in the Bronx on Randall's Island. So that's what I want to show the kids. the many faces of this. Look, it's growing in New York City. It's growing in Hudsonville. It's not just growing in North Carolina and in Asia. It's right here. It's in New York City under a bridge. That's cool. What I'm trying to show is the world, the faces of traditional farming and this urban farming. Because you know what? Maybe I will inspire these kids to go into agriculture or to go into culinary arts to become a chef. That's another, you know, thing to think about.
Yeah.
So Jen Chasen is your point person?
Yes.
Yeah, but certainly you can contact me if you need to get any information to the board or from the board.
When we finish, I'll write down your contact information, however you want me to. Sure. That would be great.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Now since we have our computers up and running by end of summer, we'll be able to Skype quicker and get online to everyone. We've had problems in the past with our computer, but we're upgrading the system here.
Yes. If we run into a snafu with technology with Skyping, then the videos are available. Then the live in-class visits are available. So we always make sure that we have a way to keep reconnecting the kids with the chefs and farmers.
Great.
That would be great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sounds great.
Thank you for letting me attend. And
thank you for coming.
No problem.
Anytime you want to come.
Now, I did not call Tracy. This is my failure to call Tracy today because I wanted her. We had talked about the AP courses, the virtual AP courses, and I had asked Dale to come, and he's not on the agenda, but can we kind of sneak him in here? Because he should have been. I had bothered to let her know. Okay. Dale, I did give a copy of this to Dale, and as our BOCES rep, this is a very exciting thing, these virtual AP courses. I know they say that they expect 400 kids to take part in it. I don't know.
This is in Ulster.
I don't know whether we can piggyback on that, but I thought perhaps we could ask you.
Dutchess County BOCES should be able to provide the same type of service that you're getting in Ulster.
I mean, if you could bring that to them and ask if they can either latch on or start it themselves. I mean, this is costing nothing. It says the cost of these programs, are funded by the New York State Education Department, which is trying to expand AP opportunities for students in the more rural areas where AP course offerings are limited. I think we pretty much qualify as the poster child for that. So
I would just wonder, I don't know how it works, but what if there was that money to pay our teachers who were doing it and then broadcast it to other schools?
Well, that's
the
thing.
The thing is, it doesn't exist right here in Dutchess County. So if you guys have some suggestions on how you would like it structured, as we have the discussion here in Dutchess County, we could try to look at the various structures that are possible. I don't know, because I haven't had any experience with this yet, but this may be kind of a canned ham program that the state put forward and Ulster has taken up the cause, or they may have built it from scratch in Ulster. So I don't know yet, because I didn't want to start asking too many questions till we knew that there was interest. But it's certainly, with the demographics that they're seeking to reach at the state level, we certainly fit all that.
Absolutely.
Pine Plains fits it. Dover fits it. I mean, we want shared services. This would be an opportunity to say, okay, boys, out here, we need this program built because there's a need for it. So I'd be happy to take that up if it's something that you feel. I mean, I know it's worthwhile. As long as you guys are supported, I'll go fight it out there for it.
Absolutely. And I think,
there is no downside. And if the state... We may not be able to get funding until next year. It may be funded in a cycle, or there may be a pool of money there, and everyone's tapping into it. So there may be money available now, or if not, next year. But it would take a while to build it out anyway. But it would be nice to get it up and running out this way, because if there's one thing Dutchess BOCES sorely needs, it's an additional enrollment in almost anything. So.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm sorry about the snafu with the computers the other day relative to transportation, but hopefully that's all been resolved and is corrected.
Good.
This I suspect to be funded would have to be done under the auspices of BOCES, but that's fine. They're, I mean, they're saying the teachers are experienced, certified high school level teachers, so I'm sure they would make use of teachers from the districts who may be teaching them, but as Kristen said, that way perhaps we get, instead of having to pay the entire cost of that period worth of AP course to bear it on our own, we can get some reimbursement and we can offer some more courses.
I mean,
then
the thing is, if we could share it with a couple of districts and yeah, kind of build our own little niche virtual need out here, of course some of our teachers or the other districts
and the other districts, yeah,
and it would be shared amongst. So either absolutely way, it should be able to reduce the cost of providing the service to the kids for each component district.
Absolutely, for all of us. And meanwhile, the kids get to take more things. It's hard to see a downside. I'm not entirely sure why. The only place I saw it was in the Millbrook Independent, but whatever.
We weren't given anything at the BOCES level either. We get those letters that tell us all about the polar plunge and, you know, flying the kites somewhere in Himalayas, but something local seems a little suspect. So hopefully we'll hear about it soon.
Well, thank you. Sorry I didn't call to put you on the agenda.
Is there any other BOCES related issues while I'm here that anybody has on the board or any information you might want? Or?
Thanks for taking care of the problem Jerry had with the computer network.
It shouldn't have been a problem, but it was. That's what I'm supposed to do. So.
Yeah. Well, they said other districts in our area had the same program and had no problem. All of a sudden, we had a problem.
I suspect whatever is going on is causing trouble connecting to servers because they had some issues over at the elementary school too. So I think it's probably the upgrade that's playing havoc with this.
Well, we also learned by doing some back work, and hopefully we'll have a little more information from you. There's been a little too much siloing at the BOCES campus in terms of not everyone that should be aware of what's going on is aware.
Okay.
So we're working at opening those lines of communication and reducing the turnaround time on issues.
Good.
Because no one benefits from things sitting there on the salt.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks,
Dale. Anybody else have anything for the BOCES before we?
I mean, I'd like to also, this Greenpeace thing, talk about the possibility if you guys build something out or have some ideas. If there's another district, maybe there's something we can incorporate into a classroom type, either through health or, you know, the wellness committee at one point was looking for initiatives. This would be the perfect kind of thing for that. But if there's anything that you can come up with that might be compatible with Pine Plains or Dover or Millbrook, maybe we could share a little service and create a little extra return for fewer dollars.
Well, I mean, since we're already trying to share some sports related costs and programs with all of them, Pine Plains, Millbrook, and Dover. It makes perfect sense to try to involve them in this once this is, I mean, right now she's building it from the start, and that's wonderful that she wants to try to help us and start it here. But yeah, if this could expand, that's only a good thing.
Any thoughts on the vocational agriculture program, Dale, with BOCES involvement, or maybe even how that could dovetail with this?
The only way that we can get involved is in a shared service. We're fully supportive of Pine Plains and trying to be as helpful as we can there, but to create a shared service, there has to be a partnering district besides Pine Plains. And I mean, with budgets the way they are and money the way it isn't easy. But if something arises, we'd be happy to try and figure it out. I mean, you know, personally, I'd like to see that program continue because I think between the FFA and vocational agriculture, it gives anybody a kind of a humble foundation about life and going forward. I mean, 4-H, going to the fairs, you learn leadership, you learn skills, you learn to stand on your own sometimes. You don't always have to run with the crowd. But that program has to have kids that want to take it to stay alive, and that's one of the problems we're working on out there. And again, one of the things that we've talked about at BOCES level is we are going to try and create some type of guidance counselors, boot camp, training camp, whatever you want to call it, so that everybody in the county is aware of what we offer, but also to be free to offer suggestions on if they have a small group of kids that are interested in something, put it in the hopper and let us know so that if there's another district that has the same thing, maybe we can create a shared course somewhere. I mean, lots of times it's logistics. If there are two districts that want, but they're at each end of the county, you can't really share one person. They have to be fairly close by. But there's a lot of times information doesn't seem to flow because people think there's no hope and just give up. So we're hoping to get more suggestions and more open communication relative to what needs are out there. I mean, it's hard when we go to districts and ask if they have a need and everyone says, you know, with money, except we all know that. But do the kids have a need? And from that need, can we work at creating something that you can service for 50 cents on a dollar or something?
Well, I wonder.
It boils down to communication.
I wonder if something like, you know, you said you need kids to put into these agriculture programs, and it's so true. The kids aren't signing up for them. The kids aren't asking for it. And I wonder if maybe the potential of something like this Greenpeace thing is to breathe new life and you know, present it newly to the kids in a way that kind of speaks their language and captivates them again. Maybe, you know, we're evolving.
It's kind of a multifaceted approach. Kids have to want to sign up, but we also have to market it to kids so that they know it's there to sign up.
Yeah, they don't know. These kids don't know that that's not for them. I promise you, I've got 20 kids in my 4-H club. Every single one of those kids would take advantage of the program if they knew it existed.
We found it by planes the night of the presentation out there. We had parent after parent stand up and say, my kids wanted to take but they were encouraged not to take other courses. So we're trying to eliminate that, like, either stigma or silliness of, why do you want to take ag? How about, why don't you want to take ag? I mean, if we talk about wellness, and we talk about health, and we talk about, we want everyone, you know, childhood obesity, we want people to develop healthier lifestyles, wouldn't you want them to have an idea of the food chain and how they get the things that they take into their bodies and how those things, and how you can learn to, even if you're not going to farm, if you have a home garden, if you teach kids, you know, how to grow their own vegetables and things, it's, you know, there's so many benefits from being connected to the food system, both from sometimes just kids not having as much idle time. I mean, I'd rather have my kid out in the garden than it would sit in front of a computer for 3 hours playing video games. Not that there's anything wrong with video games, but I think that there's a good balance with healthy activities and some mindless other things. So, but.
Well, and if kids got a chance to actually eat fresh vegetables more often, they might realize that potato chips are not a food group and that you actually can really enjoy vegetables.
Aaron, the kids that you have in your group, how many of them, are they all from Utah Tuck or are they
Panama? Yeah, I took them.
Because, you know, at the point here when we lost some of the ag program, we didn't have kids necessarily wanting to sign up, but we, you know, 20 kids is enough.
I know 20 kids would create
the ability to share a little bit with Pine Plains if that need developed. That's a pretty solid
new
beginning of a point two or point four and sharing with out there, but it all depends on money and it depends on desire. But I mean, she's certainly doing well with the pig club, and it's like those kids are choosing to do that without really having it given to them any other way other than they've made a choice to do so. So,
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Anything else under delegation that I did? No. Okay.
Nobody else, I forgot.
Okay, now move to the superintendent's report.
All right. I wanted to talk about the weight room location. You all saw the recommendation from Rhinebeck Architecture about the up to $2,000. You saw how they said some districts follow the rules, some don't. My recommendation is this, that we consider going with the $2,000 approval and take the two math teachers that we were going to assign to the weight room and put them back in the high school in the short term rather than having them share classrooms. I think we can take some pressure off of everybody if we put those two teachers back in high school. until we are able to get through this. Because as I've said before, I think we think this is inevitable anyway with the enrollment coming up, since we have already conceded the point that we will have our 7th and 8th graders going down there for foreign language. I did speak with Mrs. Chasen today, and again, she did not want, she's not opposed to that moving the two math teachers back, but she reminded me that the reason that we even started this conversation way back when was because of the 7th and 8th graders being in high school kind of free. So that issue is not going away, but she certainly said we can live with it if we just table this and go through the process and let the two math teachers. So all the math department would be together, but the kids, there would be no math teachers in the middle school.
Honestly, for me, while our goal is certainly to not have kids traveling to the high school, and I think we all agree with that, at this stage, it just doesn't seem the biggest problem we have, let's put it that way.
That's why I'm saying, yeah. Let's just, well, we can approve this at the next meeting after give it some consideration.
Yeah, we can talk
and,
about it.
You know, and if we decide to go forward, we can approve it, and we can start the process anyway. Mm-hmm. And then, in the meantime, Mrs. Chasen is able to fix the schedule so those two teachers can stay at the high school and the
okay.
kids will go.
I guess my question is, if I remember what I read, talk about relocating the weight room somewhere else as a study. But in the beginning, early on in our discussion, was the weight room was not being used, it wasn't needed. There is a need then, and that's what I want to make sure.
You have numbers of the weight room used?
I do.
Okay.
I'll put them in your packet.
Okay.
They're slim.
Okay.
As long as there's a need, that's fine.
Estate.
I just, you know.
It's fine.
What I thought it was sold was that it wasn't needed. That's.
Yeah, we need more information.
I have a little chart that I
before we spend anything on it.
April from Brenna Lape, who is our athletic trainer, and she worked this year as the substitute health office aide, so she was here quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I asked her to give me a list of what, just give me a snapshot. It's mostly band. Mr. Bradley.
Uses the weight room?
Mm-hmm. They use it for a place to teach lessons for clarinets or small groups.
Private lessons.
But those periods 1 through 9, it was used for testing modifications. But Mrs. Gagley's name is on here. After school, certainly it's used. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting data, but it's just a snapshot. It's not the whole year. Mm-hmm. But I will put it in your packet. But that's my recommendation at this point. I agree. I'm thinking the same thing. We've got many other things that we're working on.
Much more important.
We may want to just go with what we have for the short term. Okay, so that's the weight room relocation.
What do you think like?
Discipline recommended policy updates. Tracy and I went through the last 3 years of recommended policy updates. We have 27 policies that need to be updated, but they're very, very short. I think we can do it in one meeting. They've underlined recommended wording changes. They're very good about keeping current. So I think we can do it in one meeting. I don't think we should do it through email. I think we should have to sit down, look at the wording, and you're not in the committee anymore. But sorry to hear that. Aaron took your spot. So I would recommend as soon as possible, because it really is not a lot. It sounds like a lot, but it's really
no, we not. Should do it. It's not as bad as diapers or dishes or laundry, but it's like that. You have to keep doing it. So
we didn't copy it off because it's quite a lot of papers, because it's everything we already have, but included in it is the little sections that they underline. So I think if we were to do it in here or someplace where we could look at the policies on the computer, we could see what we've approved.
That's a very good idea.
That way, it should go fairly quickly. So, with that said, anybody want to meet on Tuesdays? Uh-huh. When we used to meet, we haven't met in quite a while. But I would prefer a summer meeting so we can be done with it.
Get it
started.
Start
the year
with, yeah.
Current, up to date.
I would like to see my list again. So I don't remember signing much
of that. I haven't seen any list yet.
You've got the list.
I did.
Yeah. Last week?
Oh, yeah, we did,
everybody
and I don't have it here.
Like Christmas at my house. Just because it's on your wish list doesn't mean it's list
that I have. A lot of committees were done away with it because we're not using it.
We can do it once, and then when they send the updates two times a year, we can just go with it.
Yeah,
how about, is Tuesday still good for you?
He's on.
You're not on it. Oh, that's right, it's...
Junior.
All right, is Tuesday good for you?
Who's on it?
Me and Judy.
Are you pre-working today?
Yeah.
I mean, I have slightly more flexibility during the day, but honestly, Jim has to work during the day too, so it's... there's Tuesday the 29th, 22nd is tomorrow, that's too soon.
I'm not going to be around that last week in July.
Okay.
I'm going away starting Saturday, so...
So, we have a board meeting on August 4th. Do we want to do it before a board meeting?
No, we don't. The next board meeting is the 11th, isn't it?
Why do I have it down as the 4th?
And that also reminds me, have those been posted to the website?
It is on the website now,
okay.
Yes.
The 11th.
Next board meeting says 11th from here.
Okay. I guess I read it wrong.
Before the board meeting, though, we have done that in the past, and that worked.
Yeah.
So August 11th, if that works. We do a 6 o'clock bill,
sure.
So make sure we...
Yeah, to give
really
us enough time.
If we have an hour and a half. August 11th at 6?
Okay, that's good me.
Okay.
And the only other thing I had, just an update, a couple of other updates that aren't on here. Milton Elementary, the work is ongoing to get that cleaned out and ready, you know, get us ready to do a garage sale at some point in early August. I'll keep you posted on that, but they've been working on it, discarding things and getting the downstairs organized. We're not there yet, but we're in progress. I stopped by today.
So you have work.
We have a little water problem, I think, in the bottom.
Take care.
We say 6 o'clock on that, Judy.
Okay. 6, yeah.
Board docs will be up and running hopefully for the August 11th board meeting. We'll be going. We're in transition right now with the technology.
Great.
And just an update on the golf merger. We've posted the golf position again and no applicants.
Okay.
So that's from your district. So no golf coaches have come out from either district. And Mr. Zenz has approached one teacher personally who had kind of expressed interest in this guy, has young kids and just couldn't commit to a varsity position.
Well, it may be time to wave bye-bye to the golf. Can't find anybody to come
naturally,
to.
But sometimes you get the 11th person to come through.
Yeah, we can see.
So just that's just an update. And that's all I have.
Okay.
All right, move on down.
So 6E, we're discussing later.
The other for Board of Education, right? We already discussed everything.
Well, 8A was pulled off, so we need to talk about that.
You want to discuss 8A now? Or
yeah, sure. If we're there on the agenda, yeah.
We're there.
I wanted to suggest, and I don't know if it got updated or we met without you, Jim, we talked about a board goal. I don't know that we came up with any specific languaging, but it was about our communications with the public. And for me specifically, I'd like to have us work through and on our website. I think that could be improved and used more as a tool to open up communication between the board. Well, just in general, just an easier way to access information. I think we could just tweak that, but I think as a board, we want to work on how we communicate with the public.
How do you suggest we do that?
We can, well, we had spoken about the possibility of posting something on the website, having a column, or if the Middleton News were so inclined to let us have one that can be round robin from, we have a different person write it every time, having something put in the newsletter, when it goes out.
And this is it too, like we don't know, it's a board goal. We want to work on it and find out what the best avenues are and what the best ways, this is something we want to get better at.
So you want to call another category, communication?
Yeah.
And how do we want to word that?
I guess communicators.
Working toward a stronger and better community relations through website technology.
And other regular tools or media.
Yeah, through regular communication with all of the stakeholders. I'm not much of a fan of buzzwords, but that one actually is appropriate.
Seeking appropriate ways.
I just think that it should be short and succinct.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't have the wording, so.
I think we just want to make sure we say we want to regularly communicate with people, and the methods can be, as Chris said, it can be through the website, can be through posting on the. With the Warrior when it goes out.
Jason's communication.
Yes, I mean.
So why don't we just say add a piece to the board goals that we want more perfect or better communication, and then work on how you want to word it afterwards. I mean, because if we're going to pass.
Sure, we can do that.
That would be.
Or personal communication with board and public.
Between the board and the public, yeah.
Improved communication between the board and public.
Yeah.
And then we could say that the platforms and the methods are just like to be determined, but we'll use what we can. But
I'm sorry.
No, just that we are going to be more. We're going to reach out more.
User friendly.
Yeah.
With the Word Docs program, there should be a feature, I would think, there.
We could post something.
The board could post things of their own.
Yeah.
On Word Docs.
I don't mean to sound obnoxious, but honestly, better communication. I mean, it's like, you know, 10 times 0 is 0. Yeah, we need to open the lines of communication because, quite frankly, we don't have any now. So
improve and increase.
Yeah.
Improve and increase communication between the Board of Education and the community.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that successful?
That sounds good.
That sounds good.
All right. So the other ones are all acceptable, so we want to keep them as they are, but add communication, improve and increase communication between the Board of Education and the community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then under that somewhere, somehow, I think that our website needs some TLC.
Yeah.
If you have specifics, we'd love them because we try very hard to stay ahead of that. So
well,
if you have specifics.
Is there a committee that works on that?
No. There's a committee in the district office that people send stuff to. It's Tracy and Giselle.
Right.
I have some specifics. Things need to come down when they're done.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the 2013-14 budget in April of 2014. Things need to come down.
Yeah.
There needs to be less. I realize everybody's impulse is to put it in big, colorful stuff, but you can't just keep having things slam you in the face and have to scroll down 17 times to get to the most recent thing. There's got to be a way to influence what the maximum size of what shows is. It's far easier to use a scroll bar on the side than it is to have to scroll down the entire page so you've got nothing left on the sides. The calendar, I mean, we don't need the ability to scroll down 5 months worth of calendar by continuing scroll. That needs to be, that's just a matter of architecture. You put a side scroll bar on, you don't sit there and make everybody go down to find things. And there needs to be some way to prioritize things again. I mean, you can't constantly just leave the last thing that came in on the bottom because people won't look. There has to be someone who, and even if it's just us saying, hey, could we do this? But there should be someone who oversees it once in a while to make sure that every single thing that's been put on for the last 3 months doesn't stay there until everybody's sick and tired of looking at it.
That would be a great first step, is just taking down the old stuff.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. maybe we could...
I'll happily do it.
But we know Giselle works here. Giselle will do that.
Giselle certainly knows how to do it.
And maybe we could just figure out a time to get together and give some input or, you know, wish list.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right, but can that's I just, everybody. That's open.
Can I just say on you were talking about budget and what was it last year's that was still on there? But you don't realize calls we get in that want to look at that budget as opposed to this year's budget.
Well, and I understand when it's a comparison, and that's fine. But when this year's budget was being developed, the only thing that was on was last year's budget, and like right now. What's the second or third thing on the site? You know, the budget passed. Okay, I'm glad it passed too, but, this was 2 months ago.
Yeah.
There are, we should have all older budgets there.
Right, but they get archived or something.
Exactly.
So you can find it in the search bar.
Exactly.
But
I mean, when it's given
right there,
equal
like a
weight.
Quick link or
Yeah.
I thought it was on the side.
Yeah,
sorry, and you're right. You're absolutely right.
We have calls that come in and look for things. Yes, definitely.
But again, that's part of organization or whatever.
Wish list. You got a wish list over there. A wish list over here. So send your wish list.
Okay.
This one we can probably call. Okay. So.
Okay, I would move the approval of the Board of Education goals with the addition of the. The goal for better communication.
Second. Motion made, seconded by Chris. No discussion. Discussion's already made, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any noes? I guess the ayes have it. Okay, nothing else under other.
Actually, yeah. We had talked and said that we can't decide that we just want to make sure we're still pushing it off. Mandating.
Yes, it's on my list. It's in my ticket file for August to make sure that that's happening. And I trust that it is, but I'm not sure.
And are we planning on opening that to other community organizations as well?
Yeah.
Other
districts as well.
With the extracurricular appointments, one that I pulled off and said I wanted to talk about in executive session, I think there are two items under that we can talk about in public session. Did you not get any applicants for the Honor Society and Mock Court?
That's correct. Those, sometimes they come in later, even though we put a closing date. They don't always, how can you say they don't always do it for that?
Oh, okay. So you're still optimistic that somebody will
yes,
step up?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks.
I had one thing. I just wanted to thank Jim for the information on the FFA, which Kristen asked for. And I'd like to try to take it a step further. If the board is interested, I think I could find, I'd get a student that graduated last year from the Pine Plains FFA to come and speak about her experiences and what's happened in her career. Since if the board would like to hear a short presentation from her, I haven't mentioned it to her, but I'm pretty sure I can get her to do it. I would like to see someone come from Housatonic and say, man, maybe you have a contact there. But I don't know if that at a future board meeting or next board meeting.
Yes.
Or,
that's actually, I think we'd all love to hear it, but that's actually something that I had forgotten about, so I'm glad you brought it up. I'd like to find out whether, in fact, we can try to partner with someone in Connecticut to provide ag to our students. I'm not sure, because it's a different state, whether we can offer credit. But if we could check that out, that would be helpful. And if we can, in fact, do that, I it can't hurt to make some overtures to them and see if they would be willing to let us partner with that program. I mean, but first of all, we have to find out whether we can even do it.
Great.
Okay, so I can look into that.
Okay.
I don't know if the law has changed. Many years ago, students from here transferred to Connecticut to take the ag course. I don't know. I don't believe the district ever paid the tuition
for them to go.
Yeah, see, that isn't going to happen now.
No, I don't think it should, but I mean,
yeah.
That's the only time I'm aware, but I don't know what the law of
one state or the other.
Well, there's FFA, yeah. And then there's vocational agriculture. Yeah. FFA is sort of an organization within an organization.
Yeah. True.
Vocational agriculture is an entire curriculum. It's got its own set of classes. And Pine Plains is a small scale, and at Housatonic it's a very large scale, from forestry to horticulture to fish farming to welding to mechanic shop. They butcher animals. They have vet science. They have equine science. They have how to build a fence and fielding and crop production, that kind of thing.
Got everything.
They've got all these different classes, so there's an entire curriculum that goes with it. FFA is the organization that you would probably belong to if you were in that department. So FFA travels nationally, and they do lots of sort of leadership and meetings, and it functions a little bit like 4-H, but probably to a larger degree, don't you?
Yeah. Well, FFA is the leadership organization that's tied to a vocational agriculture program, and the students who are involved with the FFA, in order to get the degrees, there are different steps. You get the Green Hand degree, then you get the Chapter Farmer degree, then the Empire Farmer degree, and then the National degree. In order to do that, you have to have a project, keep all the records, show the progression of it, and in some cases, by the time a student got out of high school, they owned a herd of cattle or a herd of beef cattle, or they farmed 1,000 acres, and they would get the National Star Farmer Award. I mean, but it's tied to a vocational agriculture program. Not every kid that takes a vocational agriculture program has to belong to the FFA. I mean,
But suspicion is that if they're in that program, they're basically going to be transferring there.
Yeah.
Because given the distance and given the depth of the curriculum, I don't think they could just like go over for a class or two. So we need to find out if we can do that. If we can.
I think they could. Why couldn't they?
You mean just go for one class?
Or a couple. I mean,
The amount of time, well, a half day is what we do here, but the amount of time it's going to take to get there is going to seriously cut into the amount of time they have for classes.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how easy that would be. I mean, it's possible, but it's not a slam dunk. So that's why I think, plus, I mean, what do? Do you pay half tuition? Do you pay... I just think we need more information on it, and if they offer those classes,
Eight miles to Pine Plains from here, but maybe it's 15 miles over there. So but I don't know the state. I think the idea is to gather more information,
get and
find out what the options are.
Because I would love to see if we could, but...
We'd have to look at...
We have to find out.
Yeah. You can't get into the logistics of it tonight because we don't know, but...
Right,
You'd look at BOCES, you'd look at whatever the right way to go if that's our interest.
I would like to listen to it, only because Pine Plains are teachers, and that becomes a little less stable than Houston.
Yeah. It's because they just don't have the funds, but...
But if we were offering it here, we could also try to plan all of the courses that you would need for that to be sequential so that they could then come back for the afternoon as opposed to, I mean, for all we know, I don't know enough about Housatonic. Suppose, you know, they'd need one at 10, one at 2, one at 11:30, you know, that's all I'm saying is we need to get some idea of what the logistics are.
I get that information, and I just thought that if we had someone come in from each, I mean, I don't know anybody who's
the
gal I knew, and maybe a teacher retired.
You could
check
into that too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I would ask this young lady to come speak if the desire is there to have her come.
I'm always happy to see FFA people.
August 11th, John.
Huh?
August 11th.
Yes, fine. I'll contact her tomorrow.
Okay, so just follow up with Tracy.
Yeah.
And maybe we should make sure the public knows.
And the public in Pine Plains too.
Right.
Just a minute, you know.
We can reach out to them. Maybe we can get the paper to put something.
Once we get a copy.
Is there anything else under board, under other?
Anybody else?
Aaron and Christian, do we have anything else under other for board? Judy?
No.
Okay. Public comment. Everybody speak. Okay. Well, can I have a motion to move out of public session to close so we can move into exec session to discuss particular personnel matters?
Yes. Moved.
Second.
Motion's made second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, everyone.
Good night, Kate.